You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
I want to welcome back the Wakefields. They got back this week. They were at the graduation of Cherie Wakefield from her master's degree in the UK. So congratulations, Cherie. And CJ will be speaking on Wednesday. We've been doing all his lessons. I got to do his last lesson every other Wednesday. We've been teaching from the book, Living from the Heart Jesus Gave You. And so we'll be continuing that. So at this time, though, I think they're doing a teen class. So if the teens haven't already headed out, I believe CJ's doing the teen class at this time. Really excited today about we're gonna do what we call a sermunion. So the sermon is combined together with the communion. We'll pray at the end of it all. And we've been going through studies on the Holy Spirit. Been amazing studies, all kinds of things. Today the title is simply Step by Step with the Spirit. All right, Step by Step with the Spirit. And it reminds me of the verse that says, when we live by the Spirit, we need to stay in step with the Spirit, and then we live the life that God intended for us to live. And we have a gentleman, he's going to share right now his journey toward the Spirit, towards Jesus, who is the Spirit, and how Jesus changed his life. So I want you to welcome up at this time Andrew Adams, who's going to share his testimony for all of us. What a great story of God's power. The question is to ask yourself, what are you chasing today? What is your spirit really seeking after? Are you working for some success that actually leaves you empty? Are you performing? Are you keeping up appearances? What is your spirit really seeking? When you are in step with the Spirit, when you walk in step with the Spirit of God, you walk into the life God always intended for you. And that's not a life that's necessarily easy. Andrew and Nora will tell you it's not just been a perfect, easy path since they've surrendered. But it's a journey of transformation towards the likeness of Jesus. And it does take some suffering. But through that, you find peace. You find purpose. And even through the pain, you can find joy. Amen. Let's be in step with the Spirit. I want to go through just a series of scriptures that are very meaningful to me about that. And the scriptures do teach that Jesus and the Spirit are one. You know, he sent his Spirit. He is here. The Spirit is the Lord. The Lord is the Spirit. We'll see that later on in the lesson. So what does it mean to be in step? How do you do that, Steve? Well, we begin in the story of how Jesus began to call his guys to follow him. And we find this passage in John chapter 1 where John the Baptist had told the guys that were with him, hey, that's the Lamb of God. That's actually the plan. And so they walk up to Jesus and they ask him, hey, what are you doing? And turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying. And they spent, I like that word, they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. So what does it mean to be in step with the Spirit? Well, let's look at this passage. When Jesus met these guys and they wanted to learn, they knew he had the answers. He didn't hand them a secret scroll that he'd been saving or, you know, give them this long story or sermon that he'd prepared on the spot. He just said, come over to my place and hang out. Come spend time. And so step one of being in with the Spirit is we got to spend time with the Lord, hanging out, right? I know in LA, you know, we do a lot of things called hangouts. I know the singles in the campus are like, we're having a hangout. And that's what Jesus did. He had a hangout. He spent that time. See, our time is valuable. Our time is precious. And who you spend time with begins to change your life. When you spend time, it has an effect. And they spent time with Jesus. You know, we could read on in the text. We're going to look at some more. But if you read on in the text, you find out they were so inspired, they right away went and got more people. They're like, hey, you got to come meet this guy, Jesus. We have found the Messiah. After a hangout time, they believed they had found the Messiah because they had. But when you spend time with God, thinking about him, showing up because you found the church, that's a good thing. Thinking about your walk with God, spending time, it makes a difference. We do know that spending time with one another makes a difference, right? You build relationship by spending time with each other. To be in step with the Spirit, you've got to spend time with God in multiple ways. And we're going to talk about that. But let's look at this concept. And we want to hit this over and over. Walking with the Spirit is not a sprint. It's a step-by-step relationship. Walking with the Spirit is not a sprint. It's a step-by-step relationship. Spending time, thinking about Him, understanding His message. Let's look at another passage from John, the apostle, the writer here. He wrote in chapter 15, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." This is beautiful, right? You don't do it on your own. He uses, of course, the imagery. I'm sure there were some vines nearby when he spoke this to the apostles, or I heard there was an image of it in the temple. And he's talking about the idea of what does it mean to be in step with him and to follow him. And he uses this idea of being connected to the vine. If you're connected to the vine, then you get your nourishment from the vine. And, you know, it is the season. I've got these vines in my backyard, and they grew everywhere. And they had grapes. I think our landlord had planted them some time ago. And, man, they overtook my yard last year. So I cut them all down. They're already growing again. And I'm sure the grapes are coming out. But the grapes grow on the branches that are connected to the vine that's in the ground getting its nourishment. It's the same way it works for us. Time with God, time in His Word, reading, praying, meditating, thinking about it. This is how we remain in the vine. And it says that you really can do nothing outside of the vine, right? It's about being in His presence, not your performance. Let's keep reading. He says, "If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Amen. So what does it mean to remain in him, to abide in him, to live in him? It's a lot more than showing up at church. Carrie and I, we work together in the ministry, so we're doing things together all the time. We, of course, been married 31 years. We live together, and I'm with her all the time, so frequently. But many times, we're like two boats passing in the night, I'll take ownership of that, because I'm immersed in the daily busyness, the ministry work, getting with people, making phone calls, preparing sermons, just busy life. And sometimes she can feel that we're not really connected, not remaining connected, not emotionally. Our intentions, our goals, our discussions. You guys with me? The same thing can happen in our relationship with God. We can do churchy things, but our emotions aren't connected to the message of Jesus, the heart of Jesus. I love that question that's been popular for decades. What would Jesus do? It's a good question because it makes you get behind the scenes and think, what would his response be? I like this new thing that we're teaching the church about Emmanuel journaling, a way to, when you have some issues, to really think about what would God want to say to you, to journal out, you know, your thoughts and problems, but then what would God say to me? What would his response to my problems be? And if you're writing from his perspective, it kind of humbles you and go, oh, he'd probably encourage me. He'd lift me up. He wouldn't beat me up like I beat my own self up, right? For us to remain in him, we have to get into how he's thinking and feeling his mission. And it takes some effort to do that. You know, for my wife and I know at times I have to clear everything out and go, honey, I'm sorry. How are you doing? How are we doing? And I've got to make space. We've got to make space for one another. But certainly to remain in God, we have to make space for him. Amen? It's crucial. It's an absolute essential aspect of our journey. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You see that verse? So if you want to be in step with the Spirit, that means you're walking with Jesus. That's a whole other sermon, but it really is the same concept, right? Walking with Jesus means being in step with the Spirit. The Lord is the Spirit. The Spirit is the Lord. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom from false thinking, from lies that we allow into our mind. Freedom from performance. You are valuable. You are precious. You are gifted. God has a plan for you. You're not a perfect person by your actions, but by your faith and God's grace and kindness given over to you. You guys with me? It's about our direction, not our perfection. And I like the part where he says, with all unveiled faces. See, Moses, he had to cover his face with a veil when he came down off the mountain after he had talked to God because he had the glory of God. It was beaming and it just shocked people. And then it was fading because he didn't have an eternal glory. He had literally been in the presence of God on the mountain when they gave him the Ten Commandments. But the scriptures are talking about when we become followers of Jesus, we get to commune with Jesus and we get to have unveiled faces. Like people get to see our glow. And I look out in the auditorium and I'm seeing some glowing, right? I'm seeing some glowing out there, new faces, people that are filled with joy, new married couples out there. Good to see you, Maria. Joaquin, great to see you guys. Beaming faces. The Lord's glory is beaming through us, and we're unveiled. Now, take a look at this. It says, when we contemplate these unveiled faces, we contemplate the Lord's glory. So how do you change? Is it your effort? Well, no, you don't make yourself change. You can make efforts towards putting yourself in a place where the Holy Spirit changes you. You can contemplate, meditate on, remain in, think about the Spirit. Let the words of God be inside of you, right? And John had said, if my words remain in you, we need to have the words of God coming out of us. In my early days as a disciple, and even now as an older man, yes, in our culture today, purity of your eyes in our sensualized culture is very important. As a young man, it's like, I gotta overcome this challenge. How do we do that, right? The scriptures say, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. And I remember memorizing many verses. So whenever a temptation would pop up, man, verses just flowed out of me. Isn't that what Jesus did when he was being tempted? He just started quoting verses. Let the word of God flow through you. Contemplating, meditating. And what happens is, little by little, you begin to change. You may not even notice it, but other people will. They'll be like, hey, you're different. You're just more at ease, more calm, more loving. You've changed. You know, God made us to grow and change. So again, I want you to remember this mantra. Walking with the Spirit is not a sprint. It's a step-by-step relationship. It's a step-by-step thing. God changes you if you contemplate him, if you stay in him, if you're in his word, if you keep immersing yourself in the ministry of God, in the work of God, and you're going to have obstacles. Many challenges are going to happen, but don't give up. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain, church. How many of us have gone through some obstacles lately? How many have seen our own personal weaknesses lately? I mean, that's part of the journey. And our culture tries to beat us down and the various thoughts of, are you successful? Sometimes we don't meet the societal viewpoint of that and it can beat us down. Our own image, our own schemas, our own maturity gaps we've been covering in our midweeks. And these are lies that we can't buy into. God will change you if you will stay focused on him. It's worth it. You can be transformed. The greatest weakness can become your greatest strength. We've seen that many, many times. Let's go to another passage about this walking in the Spirit. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, and let's begin to read. This is one you might have read before, and we teach this when we get into really looking at the sin of our own lives. We use this passage, but I like how it begins in verse 16. It says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want, whatever your flesh wants. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. We got to stop pretending that there's anything other than two ways. There's the way of the spirit, and there's the way of the flesh. The way of the flesh, it does lead to death. It leads to practical damage in our life right now on earth. It leads to all kinds of unhealthy consequences, and it's why the world is embroiled in so much conflict and difficulty and pain and hurt. In heaven, those things dissipate and pass away. But the Spirit is here to give us a glimpse of heaven, a foretaste of what God's power can do. And He can change us. We can actually live by the Spirit. We can actually overcome our sinful flesh. We're not perfect. Again, it's not about perfection. It's about direction. But when you're going in the right direction, you actually start doing things that make life better. Like a lot of you guys, sometimes I take a little bit of my spare time and I'll just scroll through whatever. Like I'll look at the TikTok and I like looking at construction videos and weird stuff. I don't know, stuff that's just mindless. I like watching that one video where they crush metal in that crushing machine. I don't know why I like that. It's just like, wow, they crushed the whole trash can. But then sometimes I'm scrolling and like, you know, there'll be like an ad that maybe is not appropriate or there'll be something. I'm like, wait a minute. And if as a girl, and I think if you look any too long at it, I think the algorithm can tell how long you look at it. And I'm like, what? So then I always hit that and go, not interested. So I get more construction videos, right? That's what I want when I'm begging. But the Spirit's telling me, not interested. But you know, your flesh is saying, well, I'm kind of interested. I mean, you know, I am a man. Not interested, the Spirit's telling me. Do you listen to the Spirit? Amen, church. We can't live by the flesh. You can't walk both paths. You know, and he gets into the details. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, which comes from scrolling and not saying no, right? And debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition. Ambition's not sinful. It's just sinful when it's selfish. Dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I mean, all this lying, cheating, stealing. They're not in there, but those, that's the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. I lived like that. And my flesh is kind of trying to claw me back in to keep living that way. No, the Spirit says no. The Spirit says be filled with the Spirit. Get excited about the joy of living a different way in step with the Spirit. There's so much more joy in a spiritual life. And as you go on in the passage, that's what it says. Look what it says. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. There is no limit to how much love you get to have. There's no limit to how much patience and peace and joy. You know, there's no limit to how kind you can be. You get to be as kind as you want to be, right? I know a lot of you are really kind. You can be even more kind. Unlimited kindness. Unlimited, right? The fruit of the Spirit. There's no limit on these things. That's what the Spirit has for you. And then it says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So as you live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And then this verse, we'll be closing out here in a moment. This verse has meant a lot to me lately. I have been, thank you, Andrew, for, I know we've been talking, we work out each week, and I'm telling about the Jubilee planning, and I've been helping coordinate that, and it has put some stress on me. But this verse has meant a lot to me in terms of what's the Spirit calling me to be and do. Because quite frankly, this big conference we're running, I took the point to kind of run this conference and help get it off the ground. And it's been enormously stressful. My sleep has not been great, right? It's put a lot on me. But I want to thank you, Westside. We have already hit our goal of over 50% registered. So thank you, Westside. Keep registering. I want 100% of us there. Not because we hit the goal to break even the conference, because I believe being there can change our souls. And it's just rejuvenating and special. Amen. But thank you. But I have needed this verse. And I've had to let this verse come out of me and recite this over and over at 4:30 in the morning when I wake up, because I'm thinking about the next thing I have to do on the planning, right? This verse, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy.
and my burden is light.
And I started reflecting, if I'm trying to do this by my own power, this one project, and I'm waking up at 4:30, something is wrong. Something's wrong, and I'm confessing, it's not okay. I should sleep so peacefully until a good 7:30 or whenever I need to get up that day, whatever time it is. And I know I need to repent and go, okay, God, I have to walk in the Spirit. This is your project. This is your plan. This is outside of you, there will be no fruit. And so I'm committed to that. Amen. I hope that you can look at your own life and go, are you feeling a little like I've been feeling about that? You got your own project, your own stress, your finances, your job, your family, your kids. I know you got stuff. Can you be at ease? His burden is easy. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Are we at ease? Are we able to walk in step with the Spirit? What was the last step that Jesus took? On the cross, I love this verse. Look what he says about his Spirit, what he's going to do. And we'll pray in just a minute. It says, Jesus called out with a loud voice. He's on the cross, and he says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he had said this, he breathed his last. His last step in his faith, right? His last step, physically, of course, was to say, into your hands I commit my spirit. My challenge for all of us today is to pray this prayer. At least one solid hour this week, just spend time with Jesus with no agenda, his presence. Ask him to lead you. And I ask for you to pray. You can pray it every day this week. Lord, into your hands, I commit my spirit. Step by step with his Spirit. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. As we thank him, we take the communion to remember what he's done for us. The bread reminds us of his body given. The fruit of the vine reminds us of his blood shed, which gives us this new chance each and every day. Let's pray as we take the elements of communion. Father, thank you so much for this time to really reflect on walking in step with the Spirit. Thank you so much for Andrew and Nora and Andrew's story of coming out of the hole of life. May many others respond to that. Jesus, you are the reason. You're the one that puts down the rope. You put down the rope to pull us up out of our hole. And that's what you did through your example and through your bloodshed. You give us a chance for a fresh start every single day. Thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.